You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 13, Episode 8 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In this season, we're talking about various social issues, various things that are affecting our society that we live in today. And in today's episode, the challenge that we're going to be talking about is atheism. So let's get started. Atheism is the belief that there is no God. And atheism, because of what it is related to humanism and secularism. Now, what are those terms? What do they mean? Well, humanism is the philosophical belief that values human reasoning over religion and superstition. They want to link those together, religion and superstition, because they say human reasoning is higher than both of those. And since atheism is the belief that there is no God, and humanism, as it's related to that, says that human reasoning is above and is higher than religion, any form of religion, then atheism and humanism will embrace secularism, the view of society that has nothing to do with spirituality, nothing to do with religion. And so this is the idea that many people put forward as far as what our society should be. It should be a secular society. And the reason why, what is behind that is atheism. They want a society that is completely void of religion or religious belief or faith. And so this is all rooted in atheism. Now, those who argue in favor of atheism will claim that there is no evidence for the existence of God. And those who embrace atheism and humanism believe that society is better off without religion, hence what we talked about with a secular society. They believe, those who hold to atheism, believe that the universe came about by chance and that we are the product of evolution. There was no intelligent designer. There was no God that created the universe or made mankind. All of that came about by chance. All of that was completely natural and had no spiritual being, no supernatural power that was behind this. Now, some atheists are indifferent toward religion. They simply don't believe in God, but they don't have a problem if other people want to believe in God, even though they don't believe that any of that is true. Others, though, are openly antagonistic toward people of faith, and that's usually what we hear about. We hear about the ones who are the more vocal, the ones who are the more antagonistic. Those are the ones that we notice because they're trying to be noticed. But there are a lot of people who are atheists who are not necessarily hostile, but they just don't believe in God. Now, some statistics that I've ran across as I was researching this, which I thought were kind of interesting. A 2014 study found that only 3.1% of Americans identified themselves as atheists. Now, if you're like me, that number seems low because, again, those who argue this, many of them are vocal and they are pushing this and they are, in a sense, bullying people into not talking about being religious. And so it seems like that number should be higher. But that study in 2014 found that just 3.1% of Americans identified themselves as atheists. However, there is a group that, as researchers and those who take these surveys have started making a new classification. They call a new group the nuns, not the N-U-N-S nuns, like the Catholic nuns, but N-O-N-E-S, those who have nothing to do with religion. This group includes atheists and also agnostics, and those who say that their religion is nothing in particular. This group grew to 23% of the U.S. population in 2014. So that may be why we think that 3.1% of atheists should be higher than that. These nuns, that group, was 23% of the U.S. population in 2014. And the same study found that these nuns are becoming less religious. And so that group includes people who say that they're nothing in particular. They might be religious, but that number within that group is shrinking. They're becoming less religious. Also, about 62% of Americans believe that humans evolved over time, but just 33% believe that humans and other living things evolved solely through natural processes. So you have, break it down in rough terms, approximate terms. For every three people you have in society, about one of those three believes that evolution happened and there was no God behind it, no higher power behind it. It was completely done through natural processes. Another one of those three people believes that evolution happened, but that there was a higher power, that God was behind it. We call that theistic evolution. And then you have another person, the third person there, who would say that, well, no, God was the one who created the heavens and the earth, and evolution did not happen. And so you have roughly the population divided in thirds like that. But there will be a link to those findings, those statistics, in the show notes if you want to check that out, plainbibleteaching.com/podcast. You can find this episode. Now, what does the Bible have to say about the topic of atheism? Obviously, the Bible is one that claims that there is a God and shows that there is a God, and we'll talk about those passages here in just a minute. But it also explains that there is evidence for believing in God. But first, we want to notice, we want to be reminded of the fact that God is the creator, and God is the one who rules over the universe. The Bible begins in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The psalmist said in Psalm 100 and verse 3, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Also in Psalm 103 and verse 19, says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty reigns over all." So God rules over everything. God made mankind, and he, as the very beginning of the Bible says, he created the heavens and the earth. Now, why should we believe that? Why should we believe that there is a God and that he created everything? Well, the reason why we can believe that, why it is reasonable to believe that, again, atheism linked with humanism, humanism values human reasoning. Well, let's use some human reasoning, not apart from the Bible, but willing to accept what the Bible is saying as far as what the argument is being made from the Bible. Because even if someone just rejects the Bible and says, well, no, that's not from God because I don't believe God, even if you think that this was written by some man, look at the argument that is being made in these passages. Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are their words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from the one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." The psalmist is explaining here that the creation, the world around us, the physical world, is a testimony to the fact that God exists. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. What does the physical world tell us about God? Romans 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. What does the world tell us about God? It tells us that God exists because this world had to come from somewhere. And the atheist wants to say, well, no, it wasn't God. It was the Big Bang that happened. What's more reasonable to believe? That there is a creator who made everything because he has the power to make everything, or that everything came from nothing, and that everything that exists is just the product of blind chance and nothingness? What does this world tell us? It tells us that God exists, and not only that God exists, but that he is powerful. It talks of his divine nature. How does this world function the way that it does, where you have seasons, where you have the different times of planting and harvest, that you have day and night, you have summer and winter? Why do you have all of that? Was that just chance? Is that just chance that that happened? That's what the atheist wants to say, that, well, that's just how everything just happened to be, and that's just what happened. Acts chapter 14, Paul explained to those who witnessed a miracle and thought that Paul and Barnabas were the gods who had come down from heaven. And Paul and Barnabas, when they saw that the people were coming out and trying to worship them, were imploring with them to stop. In verse 15, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And notice what he says about God. In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own way, that man has free will, man can choose what he's going to do. But verse 17, yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. This world functioning as it does, where you have the everything that's able to produce life and is able to sustain life, God was behind that. And it's a testimony to God. Is it reasonable to believe that a higher power who is divine, who cares about us, who loves us, that he created a world where we can survive, where we can be sustained, where we can seek after him and find him? Or is it more reasonable to think that, well, nothing somehow produced something, and then that something exploded and somehow arranged itself into everything, then all of that somehow produced life, and then the conditions were such that life could continue now on this planet for thousands of years? Which is more reasonable to believe? Over in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. There's a principle stated here about, here it's related to the difference between Jesus and Moses, but there's this principle here that's related to what we're talking about here today. Hebrews 3 and verse 4, it says, every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. How did this world get here? How did your house get there? How did the building where you go to work, how did that get there? There's a builder. There's someone who made it. How did your car get in the driveway? Well, there's someone who made the car. There is always a builder. The builder of all things is God. How is it reasonable to say that, well, yeah, our house had to have a builder. Our car had to have a builder. The computer that we use, that had to have a builder. But everything in the universe that we use to make all of those things that we build, well, there's no maker there. Why is that reasonable? How is that reasonable? God has provided evidence in the creation to show us that he exists. And when we think about the need to have faith in God, God expects us to have a reasonable basis for our faith, which is why he gave us that evidence. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, The Hebrew writer said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, or the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not a blind faith or a leap of faith. It is based upon evidence. How can we believe in God? We see evidence for God. The world is here around us. How did that get here? It shows us that there is God. Now, there's a passage in Psalm 14 and verse 1 that says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. That passage is not meant to be as an insult, that sometimes we use the word fool as just an insult, but that the word fool there is used for a reason. It's not just name-calling. There's a reason why. And Daniel Summer, who preached back 100 years ago or so, he lived from 1850 to 1940, but in his book of sermons that he published, Plain Sermons, he explained why the psalmist used that phrase, used that term in Psalm 14 and verse 1. I'll just read the quote here, because the way he worded it, I think, was good. He said, but suppose that a man will arise and say, there is no God, and will, therefore, say, I do not believe that I shall have any existence beyond this life. Such a man, we may answer in the words of David, king of Israel, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. For a man to say that he does not believe there is any God might be a reasonable saying, for he would thereby imply that he has not become acquainted with sufficient facts and truths to convince him that a being exists who is worthy of being called God. But when a man boldly says, there is no God, he pronounces upon all evidence with which he is acquainted and upon all that is beyond his acquaintance. He not only declares that he has not been convinced of God's existence, but he implies that in all the entire domain of fact and truth and reason, evidence cannot be found which will convince him. Such a man pronounces on all that he knows and on all that he does not know. David declares that the man who does all this is a fool, and we should not dispute what David says on this subject. The fact that David lived in the Jewish age does not, in this instance, prevent his words from being justly applied to the gospel age. The man who says there is no God may still be classed with fools. Again, that was a quote from Daniel Summer. But what he is saying there is that there is a big difference between someone who says, I haven't seen any evidence for God, and someone who says, there is no evidence for God. Because one who says, there is no evidence, is saying that not only am I not aware of evidence, but he is saying there could not ever be evidence that would ever be found in all the discoveries that we continue to make in the universe. There will never be any evidence for God. That is a foolish declaration. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The proof is there for believing in God. And when we think about God and our place before God, God has placed man over his creation. Man was made in the image of God, as Genesis 1, 26 and 28 says, but he is not in the place of God. We are not up to his level. Like the atheist wants to say, well, there is no God, and so mankind, being as the most highly evolved being, is like a God. The scriptures teach that God is over us. We have been placed over creation, but we are not in the place of God. So as we close, I want us to understand that God exists, but he has provided evidence for mankind that proves his existence. Unfortunately, many people reject this evidence. They reject it, they refuse to believe in God, they refuse to submit to God, and they have placed themselves and mankind in a place of preeminence in the universe. This is becoming more prominent, this is becoming more common. We need to be prepared to defend the truth. We need to be prepared to show that, yes, God does exist. There is evidence, there is reason to believe that he exists, because he wants to be known by his creation.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
Yesterday, I sent out a free PDF to Plain Bible Teaching subscribers. It's called Plain Bible Teaching on God. This is a quarterly digital magazine that contains several articles on a particular topic, and the topic in this issue is God. So if you're not on the mailing list, you can still get this PDF by signing up at the website, www.plainbibleteaching.com/subscribe, and you can get this issue. Next week, we're going to be talking about the issue of socialism. And before you think that I'm getting into politics, I ask you to listen to the episode first next week. So that's what we're going to be talking about next week. Until then, I hope you have a great week.